1 Kings chapter 18. I do want to thank you for the privilege of being here and very thankful to be in the Lord's house tonight and thankful for those that come and just thankful that the Lord's here with us tonight and he was here with us this morning and very thankful to be standing in his presence tonight. And if you would stand for the reading of God's word, we'll read a few verses and we'll go through, hit some spots in chapter 18, and we'll go on to chapter 19, if that's how the Lord leads. But felt led to start here, and we'll probably start in verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again, Lord, as humbly as we know how, Father, and we just pray, God, that you'd be with us, Lord, just for a little while, Lord. Pray, God, that you'd just give me the words that you'd have me to say, Lord, no more and no less, Father, and I pray, God, that you'd prepare our hearts tonight, Lord. Always help us, Lord, just to put your word in our hearts, Lord, and to live a life, Lord, that's pleasing to you, Father. And Lord, there may be some here that's struggling, Lord, I pray for those folks, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us all, Lord, be what you'd have us to be. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to stand. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege just to be able to be in your house tonight, Lord. God, we pray for those that might not know you in this community, Lord. We pray, God, that you just help us, Lord, to be a light in this lost and dying world. And again, we thank you for the reading of your word. And it's in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. As we read these verses, we'll try to go through here and in order to get to where we're going. But Elijah was a man. It talks about here that when Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah answered him, and he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. I don't think that just for a minute that Elijah was going to back up and try to give this man comfort, knowing that he was following a false god. And that, you know, as Christians today, there's so many times that we do that. There's so many times in our life that we don't want to offend, but you know, there's people in this world today, they're looking to be offended. Everybody wants to be have it their way, I guess, so to speak. But you know, as Christians today, we can't always have things the way that we think that it ought to be. You know, it goes on down here into verse 21, and it talks about how long shall ye be between two opinions. You know, you didn't come here tonight to hear my opinion on anything. You came tonight to hear the word of God. God didn't call me to give my opinion. God called me to preach his word, and that's exactly what we need to do. But at the same time, that's exactly how we need to live by. We need to live by the book, and I'm talking about the book. I'm talking about God didn't save us and leave us out in the wilderness as we spoke this morning, but he gave us the direction. He gave us a roadmap to get to where we're going today, and it matters how we get there. It matters how we're living our life unto these people. But here I want you to think about Elijah's testimony already, having the backbone to take a stand and to tell the man that he was worshiping Balaam. And here, people today, I have a nephew We got a call before we left. I'm not saying his name. But he's trying to live a life of two opinions. You know, I love the young man. Solid at one point in time. But he's going astray. There ain't no telling him. There ain't no trying to head it off at this point in his life. And I'm afraid that the young man is going to have to learn some things the hard way. You know, I've had to learn things some the hard way. I'm not proud of it, but it's just the truth. But God can bring him back in. We'll see how these people here, that how God's going to use Elijah. But we have to be so careful in our thoughts and our mind processes. Because of the things of this world, things are getting brought in to churches. You know, I heard a man say one time that the world is getting churchy and the church is getting worldly. And there is a whole lot of truth in that today. You know, we have to be very careful what we allow into God's house. We're not no better than nobody. I think if there's an alcoholic neighbor that's over here, I don't have no idea who lives here. But if they come in to the house of God, we ought to welcome them in because we ought to have the desire to see their souls saved. But you ought not put them over the choir. You ought not have them teaching Sunday school unless they're living right. And I'm not talking about in the world's eyes living right. I'm talking about by God's book today. Because it matters how we are. It matters how we are in all the places that we go. But the living between two opinions is not going to work. And it come time that these people are getting ready to have to make a choice. And it talks about down here, and call ye on the name of your gods. And that's a little g god. And it says, Elijah says, he's going to call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto his prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock. He goes down through here and he tells them to go ahead and choose. And he asks them to pray to their God. But they don't hear anything. There's nothing happens because their God's not real. And we get down here and it talks about they pray unto the evening sacrifice in verse 29. And that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And in verse 30 it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There's a few things in the next few verses that I want to read about. And one is that, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. It talks about here in verse 33, it says he put the wood in order. And in verse 36, he prayed. But he had to repair the altar, he had to put things in order, and he prayed. You know, today, that's exactly what we need to do in our lives. We need to repair our altars. So many times, you know, we get in certain situations just like Elijah is fixing to. But right now, Elijah is doing exactly what God would have him to do. He's trying to lead these people back to the Lord. He's trying to do what God would have him to do. And he's repairing this altar. And so many times in our lives today, the first thing that we need to do to get in God's will is to repair our altars. We need to get back to where we can pray and to cry out to God. How many of us today, we have a prayer life, but it's all asking God for things? How many of our prayer lives, if we have an altar that's been repaired, are we asking God, what would you have me to do, Lord? What can I do for you today, Lord? Will you give me an opportunity, Lord, to witness to others? Will you give me an opportunity to tell others about Jesus? Will you give me an opportunity just to tell somebody I love them? Will you give me an opportunity just to serve you in some form or fashion? But what is our desires today? But he repaired that altar and he put things in order. You know, there is an order that we need to be in. Our hearts need to be right. We need to be on fire for God today. And in order to do that, there are things that we need to be doing. It's hard to be a light in this world when we blend in with it. You know, a lot of times as Christians, and it is, it's so true, we have habits that we don't know we have. And the more that the things, the world that's going on around us, you know, we're at the workplace all the time and things are going on, and you hear all things, all kinds of things. And then you hear out of the same mouth that you hear somebody talking about how good church was Sunday. The next thing you know, they're telling a joke that nobody ought not be listening to. But we have a choice whether we sit there and listen to it. But they need to get their altars fixed. They need to get their heart right. Because that's why a whole lot of folk don't want to come to church. That's why we can't get them to come. That's why, in all honesty, a lot of times you'll feel convicted, or they will, that they can't even invite anybody. Because they're not living the life that they ought to live. They don't have things in order. And down here, it talks about Elijah, the prophet, came near and said unto the Lord in verse 36, "The Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." I think he sent them out there three times with four barrels of water to pour it on there. I think he dug a trench around it, filled the trench with water. But when the Lord sends fire, he sent fire tonight. And I tell you, I hope and I pray that the Lord, and I'm talking about God's church tonight. I'm not just talking about this one, but I hope that the Lord would send fire to the church. And I'm talking about all across this land. We talk about so many times that it can't turn back. I'm telling you, with God today, if this country would decide and to prepare their altar and to cry out to God, I believe with all my heart that we could see revival in this land. I tell you why we don't have revival. It's the same God that sent revival years ago, that this country was founded on God, that he can send it again tonight if the people will desire it. If the people in the churches, we were talking about again on the way in here, I think off of the main road, we probably passed maybe seven churches just from the interstate to here, straight to here, just the one sitting right on the road. And I'm telling you, if the churches in this community, you know that revival really broke out here and we would get to where God would want us to be and we really wanted him tonight. I'm talking want him to serve him and to worship him. Revival could break out in this community. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that this community could affect what's going on in Kingsport. I believe that that revival could start, and I believe it could just spread across the land today. They had one over in Burlington last year, and I hope that they have another one. It went on for weeks and weeks. But I tell you, God is still God tonight. I'm telling you, we're the ones that's coming up short. It ain't him tonight. He's an all-powerful and an almighty God today that we can cry out to. I want you to think about all these folks that just witnessed this. I want you to think about the strength that Elijah had, the belief that he had in God, what God was fixing to do. Elijah was outnumbered 450-1, but he stood for God. And he believed, and he had faith that God was going to show up. And God did. It said that he sent the fire. And in verse 39, "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." I want you to think about that just for a few minutes. I want you to think about all the times that the Lord has showed up and he showed out when we pray and we cry out to him. I want you to think about how many times that we have. How many have had children that you've prayed that the Lord would just touch and he would heal? How many loved ones that you would just pray that God would get a hold of their heart that they might come to know Christ? And God did. And it's a miracle. I'm telling you, there was a young lady we heard this morning, Brother Aaron, I praise God for what he done. That young lady got a heart transplant and she didn't even have a scar today. I'm talking about that's the God, a new heart that she has today and the love of Christ that's getting to grow in her. Can you remember when you were unfixable, but God fixed you tonight? I can remember when I was. I'm still not much, but I've got him tonight and I thank him for that. But I want you to think about Elijah and the mindset of what Elijah just saw, just what Elijah, how the Lord just used him in a mighty way. And the people, it said, I want to read it again, "The Lord, he is God, the God. The Lord, he is the God." By what Elijah was obedient and did what God would have him to do. You go on down here through these verses and the next one, and Elijah prays for rain. They're in a drought. And rain came. And I want you to think about Elijah seeing what God did to these things. Now I want us to go on to verse 19, or chapter 19, I'm sorry. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And I want you to think about Elijah. He was just being threatened by Jezebel. All these prophets over here, these false prophets, they were killed. And now she has threatened Elijah's life. And Elijah here, he goes from having a firm belief and a firm faith in God till he ran. And it says, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And here we can see so many times in our Christian lives what God has done, how he has showed up in a mighty way. You know, if we haven't ever saw him move in any other way but our salvation, that's a mighty way. No other way could we have got it but through Jesus Christ. And that is a miracle today that he can change an old black heart and wipe away all that sin and cleanse us. But here, he saw these things. And how many times we take for granted what God has done. And here Elijah went from standing firm with God until he's ready to die. And he's ready to run into the wilderness from fear. And it says, And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And here again, we read a verse out of Acts this morning about eating. And you know, when we're preparing for journey, we need to eat, folks. We need to eat God's Word. We need to study. We need to be ready for the journey that He goes. But it's talking about Him eating the food. But I can tell you for me, and you can tell by looking at me, I need this spiritual food. He's blessed me with the natural food. But I need that spiritual food to get through the journeys that he's given us today. We need the knowledge. We don't know what tomorrow brings. You know, I'm glad that I don't know what tomorrow brings. But I know who's bringing tomorrow. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he's taken care of me no matter what has come forward. You know, we can stand here and I can stand here and preach his word. And I can be crawled up in a hole like Elijah. If it's within me. If I get my eyes off of Christ, I'm telling you, I'm a weak human being. But with him today, we can stand. We can stand like Elijah did in chapter 18. And it said, And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Here again, he had ate, and the word of the Lord came to him. I'm going to tell you, in a time of troubles, and we think that we can't end up in these caves and in these dark spots, and we've been all this, and we've served the Lord for so many years and all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you today, if we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ, we can go right back to where we come from today. I'm telling you, I want to keep my eyes focused on him. I want to be all that I can be for his army. We talk about being army strong. We're all in an army tonight, and I'm going to tell you, whether you like to hear it or not, we're in a battle today. I'm going to tell you, and the devil's not going to roll over today, but I'm telling you, greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world today, and I believe that with all my heart. But here, this word came back to him. You know, when you're studying, the brother did a good job teaching this morning, but the words that he's studying and the time that he's spending in God's word, He's sharing it. He's a help to each one that's in here. But I'm going to tell you, there may be a time that the words that he used this morning, I was thinking about Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. It was in your bulletin. But I'm going to tell you, these words will come back to you. If we'll hide them in our heart, because we're going to need them today. We're going to need them if we're witnessing. We're going to need them if we're in the valley. If we're on the mountaintops today, we need to be absorbing all that we can absorb. I'm 50, and I can't remember like I used to. I wished I had studied more when I was younger, when I could have retained more. But it gets harder for me to memorize things. It gets harder for me to remember things. These things, and I can sit, and then I walk away from it, and then it'll hit me. But it still hits me sometimes. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he can bring his word back to our remembrance if we hide it in our hearts. But here he is, and it says that it came back to him. The word did. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And the Lord asked him, "What are you doing here?" And how many times have you been in a spot, have you ever heard the Lord say to you, "What are you doing?" There has been for me. There's been times in my Christian walk that I've been wrong and I've been dead wrong. You know, we can respond to things wrong. We don't know, like we said, what's coming tomorrow. There's times that we can maybe get the rug jerked out from under us, just like Elijah did, and he ended up sleeping under that juniper tree. But I tell you, if you get that rug jerked out from under you, I hope you land on your back, because you ain't got nowhere else to look but up today. I'm telling you, if we'll keep looking up, that's where our hope is today. That's where our peace and our joy is, that's going to see us through. We can be in the darkest of darkest places today. But Elijah, he chose to go into that cave. You know, you're here today and you're without a pastor, but I will promise you that the Lord will send you who you need. If you'll be faithful and you'll pray and you'll do all that you can do, God will send you somebody. But I'm going to tell you where this church does not need to go. It does not need to go into the cave today. I'm going to tell you it needs to be in one mind and one accord, because that's how the Lord would have it. I'm going to tell you, if you can do that today, you're way ahead of a lot of churches today. That's why I pay 7 churches from here to the highway, is because folks can't get along no more. People don't want this and people don't want that. It's arguing about things that don't need to. I don't care what color of carpet's in here, and I hope you don't either. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. But we're worried more about the heart condition and what God's doing with inside than what's on the outside. It's God's house, don't get me wrong. But you know, the church is down the road this way and this way and this way and this way. If they believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to heaven. It ain't just this one. But we can't get along here. How are we going to get along over there? We better be figuring something out. Something's going to have to give. Because God wants us to love one another. You know, that church down the road, it may need this church to be a light to it. It may need this church to survive at some point in time, to reach out and to say, "Hey, you need a new roof?" It'd be nice if we could do things like that. But if we can't keep our eyes on Christ and keep it off of the things and the material things, it's just like a being a help. There may be one of them sitting on the side of the road down here that needs help with a spare tire. But we're in it together. We're not here to tear down or nothing else. But we can end up in that cave ourselves if we're not careful. Got that nephew that he's a climbing into that cave as I stand here and speak. No words can we say to him to get him to see and to get him to open up his eyes. And it may be that he has to go into that cave and come to his lowest point before he'll ever see. And you know, I hope it don't take that. I hope it don't take that for your family members. I don't wish those things on anybody. But at the same time, if it's what it takes to get him where he needs to be with the Lord, to accept him and to live for him, you know, whatever God's will is. But I don't wish it on nobody. It's not a good place to be. It's when we get into that cave, Christian or non-Christian today. But we can end up there if we're not careful. And here Elijah, he had no plans of being there, but here he ends up there. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You can almost sense a little bit of a pity party there. And I can tell you, I can testify to that. You know, sometimes we think that we've got it all figured out, and sometimes, that, like we talked about, that rug can get jerked out from under you, and you realize that you're nothing without Him. And I'm telling you today, here He is. He's saying He's the only one that's left. I hope that it don't get down to that you're the only one that's left. And I hope that I don't ever get to where I think that I have arrived, because I'm telling you, we ain't never going to arrive on this side of life. We need Him. I depend on Him, and I'm nothing without Him today. But here, Elijah's having a hard time. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind." I want you to think about the Lord passing by. I hope He passes by tonight. I hope He blesses you folks. I hope He fills up cups tonight. I hope that if your need is spiritual, I hope He'll fix that. If your need tonight is something physical, I hope that the Lord will give you the touch tonight. I hope if you're praying about something, I pray that the Lord would give you guidance over it. Because we need Him tonight. And He's faithful. And He'll show up. And I pray that He had passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and breaking the pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And here again, I'm thankful for that still small voice sometimes. When we get into circumstances and situations where we think there's no hope and no peace, but yet we can still hear that still small voice. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that He don't leave us alone, and I'm thankful for His word that He's given us that we can stand on today. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And I want you to put your name there. And I want you to think about in your Christian journey right now. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? What doest thou here? What doest thou, folks, that are in Vickers Chapel Church? What is your journey? What are you doing here? Because we're all on that journey. We talked about this morning about Paul and his shipwreck. And the Lord set him on a journey. Here, He gave Elijah things to do. And Elijah showed up and did what God would have him to do. But he couldn't have done it without the Lord. But the journey part, God has given each one of us something here to do. God didn't call us to sit in the pews. You know, the Bible gives us that great commission. We all ought to have the desire to see folks saved. We all ought to have a desire to live the best life that we can live. You know, I can remember some of the young people in the past that we've had in church, and I can remember they wouldn't say anything. You couldn't pry a word out of them. But the more that they were around the Lord and the more that they were around the teaching and the praying and the singing, that they would come up. And ain't it sweet to hear a young person testify that hadn't ever testified before? And you know, God will use you. God will equip you with the things that He needs you to do. If you're usable tonight, if you're willing to do and to be what God would have you to be, He'll use you in whatever that is. You know, not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a preacher. But God can use you. Some of the greatest things that the church needs today is prayer warriors. We need people to pray for us. I desire your prayers. The church desires your prayers right now as a body. You need a pastor. And I tell you, you need a pastor that the Lord sends. That's the only way it'll work. But God knows your hearts tonight. God knows your needs. And He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus." And here, He's telling him to go. He didn't tell him to stay in the cave and to continue to stay there. He told him to go. God's telling us to go tonight, church. I don't know where he's telling you to go or what he's telling you to do, but he's telling us to go. This world around us, it needs you to go. This church that's in here, the folks that's in here, they need you to go. People that get sick and afflicted, they might need your help with physical help. But more importantly, we just talked about folks in here are needing prayer. Their family members are needing prayer. And we need to cry out to the God that can tonight. Not the God of maybes, but the God that can. And I believe him on his word tonight that he is faithful to his people. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that he's faithful to us when we're unfaithful to him. There's been many times that I've let the Lord down, not bragging about it. I'm ashamed of it. But he has never, ever let me down. It may not be on my time, but always on his time, and it's right on time that he'll show up and he'll show out. And I pray that that it's been a help to you tonight. It's what the Lord has given me, and we'll ask us to stand just for a minute. Let's bow our heads. If you're here tonight and you need prayer tonight, I don't know how things normally go or whatever, but if you need prayer, as far as I'm concerned, whenever I'm here, it's always open to come and to pray, because that's what we need to do. We need to cry out to God. We need to pray for situations. We need to pray for circumstances. We need to pray for the ones that don't know God to pray, that he might would touch their heart. Do you have lost loved ones and family members that you'd come and pray for? Anything at all. I don't know the needs tonight. But do you need to come and pray? The Lord is wanting to bless you tonight. The Lord is up here tonight to be a help to his people. The Lord loves you tonight. If you want more of him tonight and less of this old world, if you've got anything at all that you need to leave up here, would you move tonight? I feel like God's dealing with hearts tonight. We all need him. And just to be honest with you, if we were all honest with ourselves, we'd use this altar a whole lot more than it probably gets used. But God loves you tonight. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for your family. And I know that he wants to see this church succeed. And I know and I believe in my heart he's preparing somebody to send this way. Anybody else need to pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, God, as humbly as we know how again. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for showing up tonight, Lord. We just thank you for being with us, Lord, and we pray a special prayer, Lord, for these folks that's come to pray. We pray, God, that you'd give them answers, Lord, that they might need, Lord. And God, we just pray that you'd show up in each life that's here tonight, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd just help each one of us, Lord, to draw closer and closer to you, Lord. We're nothing, Lord, without you, Lord, but with you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the journey that you've set us on, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sending us this way that we've crossed paths with these folks, Lord. And I do pray, God, that you'd continue to be with them, Lord, and lead and guide, Lord, as they're on a journey now, Lord. They need a pastor, Lord, and I know, Lord, that you know the need, Father. And I pray, God, that you just bless these folks, Lord, and pray, God, that you just send exactly who they need, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just help them to see, Lord, when you do send it, Lord, that that's who they need. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just help this church to be in unity. Your church in general, Lord, we all need unity, Lord. We pray, God, that you just, again, bless these folks. And Lord, we just want to thank you, God, again, for your word, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that we can feel it. And we're thankful, Lord, that it's real and it's alive, Lord. And most of all, God, we just thank you, Lord, for saving our unworthy souls, Lord. We first and foremost, Lord, we thank you for salvation, Father. No other way but by the blood of Jesus. And God, we just pray again that you'd be with us, Lord, till we can come to your house again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.